morning. If you turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 1. And while you're turning, the Christmas play last night was fabulous. Thanks for all those that worked so hard. And I told Miss Tiffany they did so good last night. Why don't we just give another chance tonight? So if you haven't seen it, you be blessed. And if you have seen it, we'd love to have you again. It's a wonderful play. Just a lot of prophecy in there, and people did so great. The Lord anointed it. In the book of Matthew, we're introduced with a subject about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few months ago, I preached a series of messages on the nucleus of the Bible. Of course, would be centered around everything centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his sacrificial death, his rising from the dead and going to heaven. The nucleus of the whole Bible. And your life and mine. We're going to heaven only because of one reason. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. Sinless Lamb of God. We're going to be talking about that this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As I was reading that, as I was thinking about it, we remember from a child, we've heard this quoted, we remember the scripture, and every time I heard it mentioned or I read it, seems like that on this wise just kept coming to my mind, on this wise, and the Lord spoke to my heart, said, I want to show you something about that comment, on this wise. So we're going to do a word study on that this morning, and seven times the Lord used that same phrase in the Bible, just seven. Our King James translators translate that Hebrew and Greek word on this wise. Let's go back and look at that. The Lord said, I want to show you something. Every time I use that, seven, of course, is the perfection number. And we won't have time to go through all seven this morning. Lord willing, we'll try to get four, the first four. And then maybe later on, a later date, if he should so move, we'll look at the last three. On this wise, because of, on this occasion. And nothing is an accident in the Bible. Everything is so perfect. So let's go back, and we'll get this one again. This is the second time he used it. So let's go back to the first time he used it in the Old Testament, and that would be in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Introduces the whole subject. Anytime you see a word in the Bible, and the first time you use it, it opens up an avenue, and if you go down that avenue, it enlarges itself. So we use this phrase in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 23. We'll begin reading with verse 22, the book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if you watch a lot of television or listen to radio or read the papers, most of it is about what man says, and most of the news commentators would say, it's not about what has happened, it's what they believe will happen. And if you were to take time to keep a lot of notes on what they say, very little of what they predict comes to pass. But when the Bible says, then the Lord said, the name of the Christmas program is promises. His promises. So God speaks. And listen to what he speaks about. Speaking to Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise, introduces the subject that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to one day come and give himself a ransom for the sins of the world, and he wants the world to know about it. Speak to Aaron and speak to all the children of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. We're going to talk about that later on in the book of Matthew. And he came for the reason of redeeming lost sinners. He wants the world to know it. And the Lord said, speaking to Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. First thing we see is when he uses that phrase, on this wise, it's about blessing. God wants to bless his people. And the only way possible that God can bless his people, he's the one that said this, is through his son, Jesus Christ. The very nucleus, The very life and the very essence of life is about Jesus Christ. So speak unto Aaron and his sons and all the children of Israel and tell about the blessings that I want to bless them. It's not his will that any should perish. He wants everybody to come to redemption through his son. And he only had one son on this wise, the birth of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon them and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The way God wants to bless his people, and the only way he will bless his people, is through his son, Jesus Christ. So he wants his face to shine upon us. And if we will come to the knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and understand that he loved us so much, can you imagine? The love of God that he was willing not only to send his son into this sin-cursed world, knowing he'd be rejected, knowing he would be despised, knowing that very few in proportion to all the millions that have lived and are now living and will probably live in the future, only a small percentage will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he wants everyone to know they have an opportunity. The Lord bless thee. Look at that. Next to last verse again. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. He is peace. He's the author of peace. The only way the world will ever know peace is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And he wants us to know that on this wise, because of, thus saith the Lord unto the people, I want to bless you. Verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So his name, and because of the death, burial, resurrection, and our acceptance of that, God has enough resources in heaven to bless everybody in the world. But the only way they can receive those blessings is to acknowledge their sins, transgressions, and those blessings of God is paramount. The blessings of God is why he came. And isn't it a shame that people in general won't receive it? But as many as them that will receive, to them made he that promise. Then let's go back to the book of Matthew, the second time he uses this phrase, and this is the very key verse, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, that God was willing to leave heaven. It's hard to fathom and to imagine paradise, a place where God dwells. The beauty there, we're told about it in the Word of God, but our eyes cannot understand because we haven't seen. Paul was able to go, whether he was in a vision or not, or actual there, he said, I don't know. But I do know this, he told us, the things I saw and witnessed, there's no language to tell about. And so now Jesus Christ has left that abode. And God knew, and Jesus knew, that when he came back and was going to be born of woman, that he was going to be rejected. People in general wouldn't receive him. The shepherds on the hillside rejoiced. But then when we come to Calvary, and there he was, very few in proportion was there. A lot of people is willing to say, I want to go to heaven. But very few are willing to follow him. Sometimes the road is not easy. But the scripture continues. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the second time he used that phrase is about the birth. The first time was about the blessings, and the only way the blessings can come is because of the birth. And the blessings can't come unless we acknowledge that, and the blessings won't come unless he lives that perfect life and goes to Calvary and sheds that blood, which is a done deal as far as God's concerned, what God has promised, what God has decreed to do, and what God has purposed to do, he will do. And he wants us to know that his son is going to be born of woman. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God being the Father, and we don't understand all that God's doing. And those people, we are so blessed. We have the whole Bible. Everything God wants you and I to know contains in the book that you're carrying in your hand. God will help us understand it when we read it and help make application to everything in our lives, because the very essence of it, on this wise, was blessings. That's why he wants to bless us. Now, the blessings would come more readily from God. He has them to give. We ask God all the time. You probably do and I do. Bless me, bless this, bless that. The blessings are proportional unto the way we bless him. If we will honor him and bless his name, the blessings are there in paramount. There are so many blessings. The book of Malachi says, I would open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing she wouldn't be able to save. Can you imagine? God's got so many, he wants to pour them out on you and me, so many we couldn't even receive them. And all we have to do is just learn to honor him. So we spend our time a lot of times saying, bless me, bless my nation. That's good. But perhaps if we would spend more time saying, God, make me blessable to thee. And it's about me receiving those blessings and making use of them. And the blessings will come. He wants to give them. First time he uses it, he wants to give them more than you want to receive them. Obviously, because we really want to receive him, we'll learn the lesson that he's trying to teach us, to honor his son. And you honor his son by accepting everything in your life and mind that he wants us to do and how he directs our life. We don't know. Sometimes we almost argue with God. You say, well, I don't argue with God. Well, think about this. Do you sometimes, the things he tells us to do, you're a little reluctant to do it? You don't understand, like Joseph did not understand. And he was willing, he was wanting to keep the law, and he didn't want to make a public example out of her, so he was going to put her away because she was with child, and it wasn't his child. And the law says you have to put a woman to death because she has conceived. But then the angel of the Lord said, hey, this is about the birth of God incarnate. This is Jesus Christ coming. No wonder he used that term again on this wise in the book of Numbers, on this wise tell the people about the blessings of Jesus, on this wise the birth of Jesus Christ. But let's continue to the third time God uses this wonderful, wonderful phrase. And that would be in John chapter 21. Remember there's seven. And this is about the blood that had been shed. Remember, the birth of Jesus Christ was wonderful, and we celebrate that, and we honor that. We make more to do over it probably than he tells us to. Not many times has he told us, honor my birth. Told the angels to do that, and we do, and that's good. But we really need to honor his resurrection and his ascension and his soon coming also. So look what he tells us in the 21st chapter of the book of John, verse 1. After these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he shewed he himself. The blood had been shed. The disciples were in bewilderment. They didn't know but what they would be next to have to give their life. And some of them would. But now, remember, for the most part, they were hid in a room. But Jesus shewed himself. and he shewed himself in a place they didn't expect it. They were at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And sometimes God wants to reveal himself to you and let us be about his business when you're not even expecting it. They were out there, and as we're going to read the text, they were getting ready to go fishing. They had no idea that Jesus, he hadn't went back to heaven yet. He's resurrected. The blood had been shed. The blood had already been taken to the mercy seat. But now the disciples were still there. He had told them that he was going to go back to heaven, and they still didn't understand all that was going on. And you and I have the whole Word of God, and we still don't know everything, but we do know a few things. The blessings are there, and he wants to give them to you and to me. And the way he's going to do that is by us honoring his birth and his resurrection and his life. Look at the text. And after these things, after he had died, resurrected, some had seen Jesus, and now he's going to show himself again. And through this life, he wants to reveal himself to you, not with your eyes, but in your spirit. You may go shopping, or you may go fishing, or you may go driving the car. Wherever you are, he wants to reveal himself to you. Think about the birth of Jesus Christ and his death and how he wants to bless us. And then how we receive those blessings. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishing. God wants to reveal the blessings that he has. And the only way is because the blood's been shed. The blood's on the mercy seat. Now they're going about their daily activities, back to their livelihood they did before they met Jesus. Most of them were fishers. And now while they were getting ready to go fishing. And another part of this story is that without me, you can do nothing. They knew how to fish. Their livelihood was that, and they'd done pretty well. But now the Lord let them have empty nets all night long. But now when morning came, Jesus showed up on the shore, just like he does to you and I in our daily life so many times. Sometimes we're not doing so good in our daily activities because we know how to do it. In fact, we know how to do it so well, we probably haven't asked him to help us do it. We know. We think we know. And he lets us go through dry spells and go through times of hardships. Why? Because he doesn't love us? Oh, no. He loves us. He wants to let us know that without me, you can do nothing. And when he has accomplished everything at Calvary, all we have to do, remember the blessings are there. He wants to bless us. He blesses through his son. And now through our daily walk with him, and now the blessings come in through the shed blood. And Jesus reports to them, since you've caught nothing on your own, do it my way. What's his way? Over on the right side. There's a right way and a wrong way. And the wrong way is us, ourselves, and our actions and our attitudes. Without him, we're nothing. But if we look to him and we follow him and our life is about him and they recognize Jesus Christ, direction. He had told them that before. This is not the first time he's told them to change your position in fishing. And last time, there were so many that the nets break. But let's see what happens now. Verse 6. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishing coat upon unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a small ship, for they were not far from land, as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Several lessons here we won't have time to expound them on. But Jesus already had fish on the fire cooking for them. Jesus could provide for us if he wanted to and us sit back on the stool and do nothing, but that's not the way he operates. Jesus will help us, but he also helps those who help themselves. He could have said, well, come on, I've got all the fish caught for you. But no, he wants to let them know that he has a job for them to do. And Jesus could do everything for us, but he chooses to let us be a part of what he's doing. We praise his name. We honor him. We proclaim the name like he told the Lord, spoke unto Moses and said, tell Aaron and all his sons and all their children, I want to bless them. Our job is to tell the world, not only with our mouths, but with our attitude, with their livelihood. We tell the Lord Jesus Christ that he has done so much for us, and now we tell others. And we express the concern that we have for them because they're not walking with Jesus. And now we have an account of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been shed and the blessings, the bountiful blessings that come because of their cooperation and letting him do what he wants to do with them. And fourthly, and we'll be closing about this, he reminds us again in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. Reminds them of the bondage they were in on this wise. And God wants you and I every day of our life to remember that because of him we're set free. We're not enslaved in sin. We're not anchored in the change of the world and the sin that once so easily had us all wrapped up and could do nothing. We were dying without Christ. We were doomed. We were headed to the devil's hell. But because of Jesus Christ, the blessings he wanted to give us, the birth that he had, and the blood that was shed, now we have been released from bondage. And now because of that release from bondage, you say, I wasn't in bondage. Oh, yes, we were. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, every one of us. But because of what he's done, because of the blood of Jesus, because of his birth, he wants to bless us. Let's keep reading this portion of God's word. And God spake on this wise, that his seed, and we are of his seed. This is talking about children of Israel. But you see, the only way you and I got saved is because of the blessed seed of Jesus Christ. He plants within our heart his faith, a seed, if you will, of faith. And that seed of faith that he places at conviction, if we will exercise that and receive it and let it fall on good ground, it will spring up into everlasting life, called a new birth. And then he wants to bless us as we cooperate with him, as we tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and we let him direct our lives, just like the fisherman. You want us to do it this way? Or do we do it our way? Go ahead and try your way all you want to. It won't accomplish very much. I've tried that a lot, haven't you? But Jesus Christ wants to anchor us in himself. And we'll keep reading this, a couple more verses. And they should bring them to bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. You see, the children of Israel, this is a lesson for us. They were brought out of bondage, a nation was, and they were blessed. As long as, in proportion to, the amount they give God honor and glory and worship him. But you see, at this particular time he's talking about, the children of Israel were not worshiping God. They had taken false idols. They had taken other gods. They were marrying children and having children of strange wives that worshipped other gods. And those children were taught, much like in America today, worshiping a lot of things besides the Lord God. And what happened? God led them back into bondage, back over in Babylon. And here they were. They're going back again into bondage. They were in bondage in Egypt. And then they were bondage again in Babylon. And God will let his people everywhere that honors him be blessed. And the lesson is, if we don't honor him, there's bondage. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but there's something called the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. God's peace wants to direct us, wants to cause us to honor him, and the blessings will come. He majors on blessings. He started out on this, and it came to pass, or by blessings. That's what he wants to do, but he can't, nor will he. And so we want to live a life that's pleasing before him. And a lot of people get saved, they truly get saved, but they don't honor him. So the blessings aren't there, but he wants them to be. He tells them over and over again, put me first in your life. And when they don't, and many times they don't, the Lord will come back and he will reveal himself to us. And verse 8 says, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8 days. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph to Egypt, but God was with him. We learn also from this passage that God will bless those. Now, Jacob was God's people and the children of Israel, but they did a terrible thing. They sold Joseph into slavery. How often do you and I sell the blessings of God rather than bless him and give him honor and glory, rather than giving God all the praise and honor? We do something selfishly. We don't put him first in our life. We don't put him first in our prayer life or anything we say and do. And God wants to remind us that I saved you. I want to bless you. And I'll do it through my son, Jesus Christ. Miss Tiffany, you have a song you could sing, an invitation. If you'll stand, everyone, at this time, we thank God for the blessings that only he can give, but he only gives them one way, through his son. We honor him, bless him, and praise him. Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, we humbly come before you. Thank you, Father, for this lesson about the birth of Jesus, about the death of Jesus, about the peace that you want to give your children, the leadership, the guidance, the need to follow you and not the things of the world. Lord, you see us just as we are. Nothing's hid from you. We know, Heavenly Father God, you know our hearts. Our hearts should be concerned about others that's lost and dying. You did say that you wanted everyone to hear. And you use us to tell others, not only with our mouth, but with our actions and our attitude. They see our daily life to bring honor and glory and praise to you. And so often we fail you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for the many times I don't honor you and put you first in my life. Help us, Father, to know and realize that the world without you is doomed to devil's hell. But because of your birth, your shed blood, blessings can be had and eternal life. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen. Altar is open if you're not saved this morning. Would you come bow and confess him as your Lord and Savior? Ask him to forgive you your sins. They sang this song.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me. Christmas. leper spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you for that beautiful song. You can be seated for just a couple of minutes. We should call our church in the session business conference right now. Miss Sharon Ponder, would you come please? She is.